Everyone, it's great to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for coming on this cold day. Yeah, we believe that God will warm our hearts this evening. Amen? Yeah, it's good to see your smiling faces too. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 24, and then we read verse 25. John 12, verse 24 and 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, for your presence in the room, Lord, your presence in our hearts. Yes, we pray you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the thoughts I've been meditating on this whole of last week is the subject of potential. Now, what is potential? And I'd like to speak on the theme, discovering your potential in God. Potential, you know. And when you think about the subject of potential, when you think about, you know, water which is dammed up and it's at a height, and you the water is still, but when the dam opens and you see the force with which it comes and what it can do, it can produce electricity, or if the flood comes, if it gets flooded, it can destroy villages. That is the power, that is the potential. It can be used for good, or it can be, you know, because of calamity, it can destroy. And potential, so today as we look where Jesus is talking about himself here, he says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. What does that mean? It means this. I was thinking about this, you know, when God created Adam and Eve in Genesis 2, he put them in a garden, and the Bible says that God made beautiful trees to eat. It doesn't say one tree. What? Beautiful trees, right? And what did the Lord say? Of every tree you may freely eat, but of this one tree you don't eat, right? But you know what is very interesting? That it doesn't say in the Bible that Adam and Eve ate every fruit, tasted every tree, and then came to the last one, which was forbidden, right? So there was potential. There was potential to explore the goodness of God, but they didn't, right? Why? Because of choice. And what happened? They sinned, right? They sinned. And that was the consequence, and the whole human race was plunged into sin because of that. And in Romans 5:12 it says, for through one man, Adam, death entered the world, and sin entered the world, and death through sin, right? Potential. He had the potential to choose the right thing or the wrong thing, and he chose the wrong thing. And then when we come to the subject of Jesus Christ, we see here, it's very interesting. He says in chapter 12, verse 33 of John, this he says, signifying for by what death he would die. And then he says in verse 27, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. For this purpose. Imagine if Jesus Christ came into the earth and did everything. The miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, the bringing of Lazarus back to dead, from the dead. He did everything. Everything. But he didn't go to the cross. It was a choice. Because Matthew 26 clearly says, not my will, but thine will be done. In the garden, Adam was asked not to eat of one tree, only one tree. And when Jesus came on the earth, he came for only one purpose. And that purpose was to die on that cross. And when he died on that cross, guess what happened? He was buried and he rose again. Guess what happened? Right? He paid for the sins of the whole world. That's beautiful. So the Godward side of the work of the cross is complete, which means all the world are in a potential place to be saved. All the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes, all the world can be saved, but they need to make a choice. Are you agreeing with me today? They need to make a choice. So when the gospel was presented to us and we made the choice, what happened? We were given eternal life. That's so beautiful. We were saved forever. Now it doesn't stop there. That's the goodness of God. It doesn't stop there. He says, go into all the world and make disciples. Matthew 28. Jesus just doesn't want me to be a saved sinner. He just doesn't want to be a saved sinner. He wants me to have this personal and intimate relationship with him. He wants me to be a disciple. Right? He wants me to be a disciple. But you know what the Bible says in Luke 14? If any man come after me, let him pick up his cross. If any man come after me. It's a choice. Discipleship is a choice. It is available to all born again Christians. But not everybody will make that choice. Are we understanding? Then, what else do we see? So in discipleship, we start taking in the word of God and we grow from infancy like a little child to maturity like an adult, right? And after that discipleship process, what happens? God calls us, right? In Acts 13, they were praying and God said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to. And they being led by the Holy Spirit, being sent out by the Spirit, they went. Now, when you read the text there in Acts 13, it may seem as if they were pushed to go. No, but they made a choice. Right? They made a choice. And through that, what happened? They died. And when they shared the gospel, many, many were touched. So what we see here? We see here, firstly, is potential. You and I, we have tremendous potential. Each one of us. Then we see the principle of potential. And what is that? That the principle of potential is, I need to die to myself and say yes to God. You know, I always think about nowadays you get the most fanciest birthday cakes. And nowadays you can put your photograph on the birthday cake, right? Or a beautiful picture. And when you buy it and you hold it so carefully, and I hate to cut that cake. It's like you just want to keep that cake and photograph it and keep it in the museum. Right? But we want to cut that cake and then it gets destroyed, but everybody enjoys it. And that's like what this is saying. You can't have the cake and eat it too. It's that way. Right? The principle of dying to self. Right? Dying to self and living unto God involves a choice. Choice is involved. But you know what is the impact? And that's the key. The potential impact is incredible. Which means, I'll give you an example, right? Sometimes we think, okay, we are sharing the gospel. Maybe some of us have been sharing the gospel for many years. Like, what is the outcome? Like what is the, you know? Sometimes you may not see many people getting saved. What is the outcome? So here is a story, which I printed out, of what sharing the gospel can do, the impact. Okay? In the year 1854, a 17-year-old boy was working in a shoe shop in Detroit. He didn't know Christ and had no interest in matters of spirituality or religion. But he had been forced to go to Sunday school, like a lot of kids those days. One day, a Sunday school teacher went to the shoe shop where this boy was working and said, "Hey, I'm worried about you. I want to talk." So they went into the basement of the shoe store where the Sunday school teacher led the young man to Christ. The Sunday school teacher's name was Edward Kimball. And the 17-year-old boy's name was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody went on to become a famous evangelist, and they say he almost shared the gospel with 1 million people before technology came in. Now, Moody went on to influence a man called F.B. Mayer, a London pastor. And then we see that there was a revival with Mayer, and then he went on to, in his ministry, in Mayer's ministry, we see that there was a person called Wilbur Chapman who got saved. Wilbur Chapman influenced Billy Sunday, who was a baseball player. Billy Sunday influenced Mordecai Ham, who was an evangelist. And in one of the tent meetings of Mordecai Ham, we see here, this is what it says. It was during a tent meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, that Graham, who was 16 years old, who did not know Christ, he came to the meeting and he got saved in that meeting and he became Billy Graham. And they say today that it is possible that he has preached the gospel to 2.2 billion people in the world. Some of you have heard this story. It's a powerful story. Of one Sunday school teacher in 1854. And what was the potential? Right? What was the potential? This story is like echoes in our hearts, because I remember in my own family, my eldest brother John, he got saved. He had a Hindu wife, she got saved, and that started the whole thing in our family, right? The testimony, and I think we can say that of our lives too. But what I'm trying to say today is, what is the potential? Now just think with me this moment. What is the potential? If you and I make a decision to live by every word of God, what are the possibilities with God? Correct? Let's say our church is 120 people. If 120 people go out soul winning, what is the possibility? If 120 people come out for a prayer meeting, what is the potential? Correct? One person. It takes one person, right? You know, there are sometimes we are clinging on to things and we are holding it in our hands like this. And God wants us to let it go. Just let it go, right? Just let it go. We die to ourselves. And when we die to ourselves, God can make the impossible possible. In closing today, you and I, we have tremendous potential. We have tremendous potential, right? Right? Bible College is an opportunity to study the Word. It's an opportunity. The Bible College program is open to the whole church. And I would encourage you to consider doing Bible school. Consider it. My greatest growth and learning invisibly happened in Bible college. Right? Come to Bible college. If God is putting on your heart to be a missionary, take that step. Correct? Take that step. Because if you take that step, the destiny of many are in that step, potentially. Are you understanding? Potentially. And it is not about numbers. You know, the Bible says in Luke 15, there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. That's the principle for church planting. Where one sinner. That's it. Isn't that beautiful? So let's be encouraged today. Like, you may spend your whole life as a mother raising your kid. Right? That's what Charles Wesley's mom did. John Wesley's mom. She prayed for them and they became great evangelists. We don't know how we can impact the next generation, right? So what are the possibilities? As a husband, if I love my wife as Christ loves the church, as my own body, what can happen? As a wife, if I submit and I honor my husband and I pray for him, what are the possibilities? What are the possibilities if each one of us take the Bible seriously? What are the possibilities, right? What are the possibilities? It is unbelievable what God can do. Amen? And I want to encourage each one of us, including myself, that let's take God at His word. Amen? It's encouraging that you all have come out this evening. Let's take God at His word. Let go. Right? If you die, many can live. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, I die. but you live. Amen? And that is the principle of what God can do with our lives. What God can do with our lives. You know, in John 19, you have Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They went to pick Jesus' body, but the Bible says they were secret believers. Why? They had Christ in, but they didn't want Christ to come out. Are you understanding? Are you understanding? There are many, many Christians today, and I could also be in the same camp, that we have Christ in, but because of fear and social prestige and social ostracization or different other factors, we don't want Christ to come out. But Christ has to come out so that the world can be saved. In closing today, what you and I need is an intimate walk with the Lord. We don't need more money. We don't need more health. And all those things are fine. Or a better job, or a marriage, or children, or whatever. We need an intimate walk with the Lord. And you know what the world needs? The world needs a personal relationship with the living Christ. It doesn't need a better government. It doesn't need better economics, or the world cooling off and the ozone hole failure. It doesn't need that. It needs a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And God, you and I, we are the people that God has chosen to go out and share the gospel. Amen. Thank you.